Guys, if you'll stand with me and turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12, I've already given them the go-ahead if we have to turn lights off, better than them flickering. Say, well, Pastor John, will it bother you the lights off? Man, I cut my teeth preaching at YDC, and the rule was they could get out of their rooms if they came to where the guy was preaching, and they would turn their chairs away from me while I preached. So lights off, I'm good. I can't see people frowning at me and hissing at me either, so I might need something to read, though. Help me, Lord. Hold on. I don't mind not having light out here. Let's see. They'll adjust. All right. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of that country and from your kindred, from your family, and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country and from your kindred, and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you. If you remain standing for just a moment, I'm not going to take this out of context, but I want you to see something tucked away in here. He told Abram, the father of the faithful, the father of those who would walk by faith, before there was ever the law, he spoke to him and said, come out of the country where you're living, away from your family, unto a place that I will show you. Last week, I shared with you about the believer's dance with change. No one likes change but a wet baby, Mark Twain said. And I almost started the service with asking every other row to swap with the fourth row. And I really thought people would have left the church. So I didn't do that. And I had several people write me, oh, I can handle change, but don't ever ask me to change my seat. No. I had a lady one time, the first year I was saved, I just came to church, been saved about a month, 2 months, and she come and just stood right beside me. And I was sitting in a chair, like, yes, ma'am. She goes, well, I said, what? You're in my seat. I went, my bad. Praise the Lord. And I prayed for her husband. And we covered change last week. If you weren't here, I encourage you to get a DVD or a CD or watch it online. But I also want to talk to those, as your pastor, can I just shepherd you today? It's like if we had a counseling session. So many of you are going through transition. Come out of the land where you are, that's where I was, into a land that I'll show you. And there's always a wilderness between where we were and where we're going. There's always a wilderness between who we are and who we are becoming. There is always a transition, a modulation, a buffer, a period of time that allows you to change from glory to glory before the promise becomes a reality. And we struggle with transition. We say we don't like change, but transition has a way of hitting you in the stomach. It's like You're unsettled. Even with change, there's a settling once it changes, but the transition between the two. And it is my prayer after we examine the scriptures today and look at God's faithfulness that we will learn that transition is the band warming up for the change. You can't dance there if you aren't willing to walk here in transition. I know there are people in this room that are empty nesting, or it's right on the horizon. And they didn't tell me this, but I've watched it for 30 years. The couple will say, what are we going to do? I said, well, I know what you're going to do. And they go, you do? I said, yeah, you're going to find out who you are and who you both are. Who y'all are and who you are again. You start over. Many people don't make it through transition. Now listen to your pastor. I won't keep you standing, but a little bit longer. Most of the people died in between where they were and where God wanted them to be. We got to keep walking, baby. We have to keep following. We've got to learn to recognize transition and see it as the hand of God working the clutch so we can go from first gear to second gear. Young people say, what's a clutch? Ask granddaddy. Your millennial daddy may not know. Ask granddaddy. A clutch that lets you do the gears. Everyone that drives a clutch can drive an automatic, but not everyone that drives an automatic can drive a clutch. I believe I'm on target this morning. Do you? Father, thank you for this opportunity that's mine, and I sincerely humble myself before you. I'm praying, oh Lord, for your anointing, nothing more and nothing less. Help me to remember the things that you've placed upon my heart. Don't let me add anything to it or forget anything. Help me, oh Lord, to speak words that would make Christ the center, that would offer us life, light, hope, and health through your word. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Let it be so, Lord, today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Transition in the life of the believer is the gift of a pause, giving us time to prepare for the change ahead and build the courage to see it through. It's a pause. I told you in music, it's a modulation. It's what happens in a movie when a scene winds down and the music transitions you into the next part of the film. Transition is the precursor to transformation. God doesn't just change you. We transition, and you know, now that word is associated with something completely foreign and immoral. But the definition stays the same. From going from who I was to who I'm becoming. It's the time and space required to take us from here to there. The gap between where we were and where we're going, from what we have to what has been promised. It's the time and space required for the next place, the next thing, the next chapter. And I told you, many Christians don't make it through transition. They sit down, they give up, they lose heart. The Bible says, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way, because God led the Israelites not through the land of the Philistines, although that was near, lest their hearts see war, and they fainted and gave up and turned back to Egypt. We know that the quickest way from A to B is a straight line, but God doesn't do straight lines, and he pauses. And we can't understand because we're limited in our understanding. When God pushes the clutch in, we act like, what's going on? What's going on? And his clutch may last a month or 2 months, and we feel out of gear, out of sorts, not knowing where we are going. But it's the Lord that orchestrates our steps. It's the Lord that governs us. The transitions in the life of the believer. This is who I'm talking to today, the believer. It's the gift that God gives you. It's time to prepare for the next place. Middle age is the transition to old age. Seriously. How do you get ready for things not working? How do you get ready for not being able to see? I can't see. Why don't you wear readers? Because I don't want to wear readers. But I am transitioning to blindness. Oh, don't say that. You need to be more positive. I'm positive. It's the eyes are going out. How do I prepare myself? You prepare by seeing him fully. In this time, seeking him earnestly, seeing him fully, seeing him only, pursuing him humbly, sincerely and responsively, securing your foundations, expanding your capacity, building your confidence, and strengthening your resolve. You prepare yourself for the next place by surrounding yourself with people of like faith, encouragers, and supporters. Transition is the time and space required to form something within us so that something can be birthed from us. We want microwave fruit, microwave character. We want to study the Bible for 1 week and be a theologian. That's where a lot of the Pentecostal charismatic church missed it. We built a system around a man putting his hands on you instead of you going through transition and change. I'm going to impart this to you. You know why we like that? Because it didn't cost you nothing. But to walk with the Lord while he deals with your character, your personality, your weaknesses, your flaws, your sins, and to learn to trust him through those times. God gives us transition. He gives us gaps that aren't, we're in places of not permanent, not sure where we exactly are, so that we can strengthen the hull of our ship, strengthen our resolve, get near him and to know him. Transition is not the time to try to get there. It's the time to get you, to fix you, to shore up who you are. Transition can be generally divided into four categories. These are mine. This is not doctrine. This is my experience. Waving, walking, waiting, and working. Waving, walking, waiting, and working. You can't have a new day without a transition, and you can't have a transition without having a goodbye. A goodbye to some place, some things, someone, or some season. I can't transition without saying goodbye to old crowds, clothes that don't fit me no more. How many of y'all got kids or have had kids between the age of 5 and 13? And they come in, their britches are like this one day, and they come in 2 weeks later. And they walk in and say, "Why you got your brother's britches on?" "Dems ain't his, these are mine." I look at Hub's boys, they're both as tall as he is now, and it was just yesterday. Well, what happens? You outgrow them. It's not that we're better than some people. It's that we've outgrown what they're doing. That place doesn't fit me anymore. And I'm not making light, it's just the truth. My heart grieves for the boy, my brothers that I went to college with. And you know, I'm 56, I'll be 57 this year, and they're still taking the same pictures on Facebook with the same cup in their hand in the same dark room, except they look old. You don't necessarily grow up by growing old. Now, I'm not making fun of that. There are people in the church. "I just want to thank the Lord that I've been in the way for 45 years. Yes, you probably have. Growing up in the Lord is not the same thing as growing old in the Lord. And transitions are the precursors to transformation. You can't have a transition without leaving something or someone or some way of thinking or some limitation. And as you mature, Paul said, "I was once young, now I'm old. And when I became old, I put away childish things." I had to grow up and grow out of those things. One of the ways we transition in our Christian life, here's just one example. When we're young, we're trying to stockpile possessions. And when we're older, we realize the only thing we'll have in heaven is what we send on ahead. So it doesn't matter so much to us if I have an alligator or a zebra or a shark on my shirt. One's $120 and one's $9. Give me that blue one for $9. Fashion. Fashion is one of those things when you grow up. I know it's going to make some of y'all mad. Some of y'all are slaves to fashion. But listen, you're going to realize that someone in a room somewhere decided what was going to be cool next year, spent $100 million on advertising, and made $2 billion because they told you that was in. Who decided it was in? They did. The people that took your money and got $95 for a shirt that cost them $1.06 to make. Well, let me just move on. I like my horse. Enjoy it. You could feed a third world nation for 2 months or wear a horse. But anyway, now there's some of us that get horses for $6. Those are my Clarence friends. Y'all know Clarence? That's my favorite friend at the store, Clarence. I look for Clarence. Okay. There are people here today, your arms are being stretched out of socket because you're trying to transition to the next place while holding on to the last place. You have to say goodbye. You have to wave. You have to walk. Not a miraculous relocation, not God transporting you somewhere. You have to walk away. You have to walk out of. See, you have to walk out of habits. We want deliverance from a habit. No, no. The Holy Spirit in you raised Jesus from the dead. You don't need a deliverance ministry. You house the minister of deliverance in you. But you have to walk it out, baby. How many ex-smokers here? Y'all eat more peppermint than anybody I've ever seen. When you first, you can see them. They come in, they don't come in with a little bit in the pockets. There's a dolly behind them from Sam's. And they're pulling in here. You got to do what you got to do. I'm leaving. I'm changing. I'm moving. There has to be not just a waving, but a walking it out. There's another thing. I'm going to be an equal opportunity offender here. See, that's why we want deliverance ministry. So we don't have to suffer through withdrawals. And we don't have to come out. I had the strength to go in as an unbeliever. Surely I have the strength to come out as a believer. Walk out, walk through, walk past. For the glory of the Son of God, I want to walk it out. I want to walk with him outside the camp bearing his reproach. I want to walk out my sanctification and my consecration. The things we give up for the Lord. There's a waiting, and there's nothing so painful and productive as waiting on the Lord. And then there's working. Transitions are a place of waving, walking, waiting for the next thing to come. And for those of you that are waiting, there's very few fires hotter than waiting on the Lord. But he's giving you this time to prepare. It's not to keep something from you. See, God prepares the place for you, but you've got to prepare yourself for the place. And that's why they didn't make it into Canaan. Because even though God took them out of Egypt, they were unwilling to take Egypt out of themselves. And I don't know who I'm preaching to today, but this is your word. You have to work. And I can tell how close you are to the next place in God by the amount of preparation you are making where you are. Why is transition necessary? I told you cannot stay where you are and go where you need to be. You cannot be who you were yesterday and be who you are to be tomorrow. Because God doesn't want to bring you into something too fast or before its time. Because it's not wise to change directions quickly or safely change gears without a shift. I am a horrible front seat or back seat passenger. Kelly lets me drive 100% of the time because I get motion sick. I have all my life. And once again, I've had people tell me that's in your head. I said, well, it's going to be in your floor if I don't drive. That's what I tell them. I'm one of those people that if I'm in the seat, because I never not drive. Now, somebody comes up on somebody, oh, my foot will do that. And I'll make them jerk the wheel and about kill them. You know, like, left, right, and finally there's, you just drive. Who else is horrible passenger? Okay, just let me drive. We're good. I like to know that if I go to heaven early, it's my fault. I don't want it to be because you can't drive. See, I need to drive because there's crazy people on the road. It's not wise to change directions quickly. And some of us won't change since God is going slow, like ripping a Band-Aid off before it's healed. We just go ahead and make the change. And we pay for our presumption in moving ahead of the Lord. If you allow it, transition can be unwelcome and wonderful at the same time. How so, Brother John? Transition has a way of prioritizing what's important. It has a way of bringing acute clarity who you really are. When you ain't going nowhere and you don't have a home and you're in between places, pretty clearly the sediment in the brook settles with nothing going on and you realize who I really am in Christ, where I am in his plan, and what is harmful. It gives you the time to go through the stuff you've accumulated, eliminating the unnecessary, getting rid of non-essentials. Transition gives you the chance to lighten your load, to have a garage sale of your soul. Crazy people go to garage sales. I've done my last one, although we need to have one very soon. Garage sales are filled with the stuff that they no longer want or deem valuable, but are trusting that you do. Here's a clock. It don't have an hour hand, but or don't have a minute hand, or it don't work. And you go, well, why is that? Well, it's right twice a day. You know, the wooden fork and spoon, and two of the spindles are gone on the fork, and you go, why you got a dollar on that? It don't even have that. They're hoping you will buy it. How does your soul, what does the garage of your soul look like? Could it be that God has given you a pause? Because we're so busy. I just don't have time. I don't have time. We make time for what's important. Could it be that this transition is God giving you the time to go clean out that garage and that closet? So when he takes you to the next place, you are ready and prepared. Thank you. Ready and prepared. If you allow it, transition can be a God-ordained place of rest and healing. And I don't know who this is for, but I have looked forward to making this statement. And some of you are going to leave saying, this statement was for me. You cannot maintenance a moving car. Your alignment's off. Your car shakes, your brakes squeal, the liner of your roof is sagging, the hot butt light is on, the radio turns on by itself, but you don't have time to maintenance, and that's why we are so like we are. And then God puts us on a rack, and we curse the mechanic. You can't maintenance a moving car. Oh, I just hate this. I just hate this. I know. But you got to have this or your car will stop working. You don't believe me? You'll emotionally come undone. You'll physically come undone. You will mentally come undone and you will spiritually come undone. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and God will give you transitions before you lose your life. He might be giving you a pause to get well. And here we are, instead of getting well, it's like the person in the hospital always jerking the IV out of their arm. How many nurses we got? You just want to hit them over the head with something, like turn the cameras off. You know, we're trying to help you, catfish. Now, some of us are old enough. Do you remember when you could smoke in the hospital? Y'all, next to the oxygen. Here's men that went to school for 16 years, and, you know, I got a high school education. I go, that ain't right. That's not good. I could point it out. I walked in on a man one time. God is my witness. I went to pray for him. He had cancer, and he had the hole in his neck right here, and the thing where I'm not making fun of him, where he talked. And when I walked in, he had the cigarette in the hole, and he contracted the hole. So I just, there was no filter back then at all. I've got a good filter now. Back then, there was just none. And I walked in, and he, you know, blew like the little smoke ring or whatever out of the hole in his neck. And I went, you have got to be kidding me. That's what I said. That was my entrance. And he was like, no, I'm not kidding you. In the hospital, asking them to help him with the cancer, while he's smoking cancer into his body. I have been guilty of the same thing spiritually. Asking God to fix me, to calm my soul, to bring me peace, to restore joy. And he causes a pause where I'm not productive, I'm not fruitful, I'm not the center of everything. And then I cuss the mechanic. You cannot maintenance a moving car or life. Transitions could be the gift of God for you today. It can be a season of intimacy and spiritual formation in you. John, we know these things and we forget them. So why is transition so difficult for us as believers? Because it is the evidence that a specific chapter in our life is ending or has ended. We don't like transition because we know what follows. What follows transition is change. Because we cannot control the pace of it. We don't like transition. It all boils down to control, really. The things you don't like in your Christian life are the same things you didn't like in your life. I want control of the car. That's why I drive. I do get sick, but that's not, if I didn't get sick, I still want to drive. I don't trust you. Playing on your phone, looking in the mirror, talking to kids, you could kill me. We want to control the direction of our life, the pace of our life, and who rides in the car. We struggle with it because of the cost of transition. Because we cannot control the opinions of others while we are in transition. There are some people in this room, you struggle more with what other people think about you than what God thinks about you. And because they look at you and say, well, look at them, they're trying to have a child and they can't have one. Or it looks like you've changed directions and you're doing this and now you're in between places. And we're so worried about their opinions when you need to free yourself once and for all with that understanding that I don't drive this car. God drives my life. God directs my steps. We have difficulty with transition because it touches our weak places in our character and highlights our insecurities. It touches the weak places in our character and highlights our insecurities. Because in every transition, we leave something, lose something, or bury something. Anonymous, who is a wise person, once said, if transition isn't painful, then you aren't making progress. One of the reasons for me transition is hard is because it too is transitional. No sense of permanence. We would rather have an address at an unhappy place than it be in between places. Some of you think this is too practical to be spiritual, but it's the other way around. Why would a woman stay with a man who beats her? Because the unknown scares her worse than the cruelty at home. And we're so afraid of the in-between period. What would I do for a house? What would I do for bills? And I'm not making fun of that lady. I'm telling you the reality that they stay in horrible places for fear of the next place. And we've got to release not just our sins behind us to the Lord, but the future in front of us to the Lord. God own King Jesus. Jesus, God is my co-pilot. No, he owns the plane. He's the owner of the plane and the pilot. Transition can be difficult because no one can do it for you and God will not do it for you. Because it's planned by God and implemented by God without your input or permission. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. The law of God is in his heart, and none of his steps shall slide. Psalms 37, verse 23 through 25. The steps of the righteous man are ordered. If you're taking notes, write, not suggested. Ordered. So every break in my life was scheduled by God. Now, we can make choices outside of God's will. I'm not talking about that. But when we're following him, and he shuts a door. Carla was sharing with me this week about work, how the Lord shut a door and now we don't know what's next. We do know bills are next. We do know that's next, okay? But he shuts these doors, but he's still orchestrating our life. When you cross over into my steps are ordered. They're not suggestions. They're not last minute God winging it. Before the earth was formed, this will short circuit our little finite minds. I still don't grasp. I believe it. Before the world was created, he knew that I would be standing on this stage in this blue shirt that makes my eyes dance. He knew it. If you believed that, what would you ever be afraid of? He orders. Everything that's happened in your life was planned or allowed. And that's where we struggle because why would God allow these horrible things to happen? It's because he didn't make robots and people are cruel and ignorant and blind and mean-spirited and evil reigns. But God restores and God heals. And what we need to understand is when transitions happen, you ought to be getting giddy like a kid at Christmas, because you know the plans that God has for you. And you know that these steps go down or up based on which way I want to go. My steps go forward or backward based on my choices. And when God orders steps, you don't have to know where they lead to. Just walk them. We don't run up steps, especially as you get older. We don't run down steps. He that believeth does not make haste. We're not in a hurry. The steps are no respecter of persons. We're getting close to our last point, but I want you to hear this. Low IQ, high IQ. Financially well off, those that suffer lack. Same God, same ordering of steps, same outcome. There are no respecter of persons. Any person can walk up or down. We can follow the Lord or follow our heart. Bible says, trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Ben, if you would come, please. I told you earlier about clothes that don't fit anymore, people that don't fit, situations that don't fit. In 1 Peter chapter 4, this is what Peter writes to the church. He said, so live the rest of your life here on earth, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. For you have had plenty enough time behind you doing what the Gentiles, the unbelievers, do. Living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, parties, and lawless idolatry. And with respect to this, the Bible says that they are surprised when you do not join them in what you once did. I know this may sound silly to you and sound like a non-event, but it, on one hand, is one of the top five things that's happened in my Christian life. I'd been saved about a month. School was about to start back, and I knew I had to leave because I was consumed in Greek life. This is not a sermon on Greek life. I'm telling you my story. Everything around fraternity was sex, alcohol, and drugs. That was it. As a matter of fact, the running joke, and I don't say this funny, I say it to my own shame, that SAE at Mercer, they said at that time, stood for sex above everything and sleep and eat boys. There were only two of us in our fraternity that had jobs. The rest of them, they had an expense account, trust account, and it was just nonstop partying. And I'll go a step further. The year we were there, SAE was the party school, it was the animal house on campus, and it was in the Playboy magazine as the top five party schools in the United States. That's what I was in. When I got saved, I knew I had to get out. I knew that they were stronger in their sin than I was in my new faith. I didn't know the Lord like I do today. I just knew that distance was going to be my greatest ally. And I felt the Lord speaking to my heart, all in, John, all in. Those are my card players. You know what that means. If you don't believe me, call me, all in. So I folded up every jersey I had. And see, for some of y'all, y'all think this is just pity, just little or small insignificance. It was revolutionary for me. This transition launched me into ministry. Folded up every shirt I had, every SAE jersey that I had, every shirt from the parties, black and white, drunk Indian party, all the different ones through the year, and folded them up, stacked them up like this, and walked up. I could see it. It was 30, something years ago, 33 years ago. I can see it like yesterday. It is crystal clear. Walking up those steps with all those jerseys and my brother's pen in my pocket. And I walked in the lodge. Like, Wood, what are you doing? Sat him down on the bar between the living room and the pool table. There was a cutaway. And I said, I'm turning all this in. And they said, oh, why? And one of them go, oh, he's found Jesus. And I said, no, he found me. But I just can't. And several of them mocked me. One of them told me he respected me. And then one of them tapped the stool right beside him and said, 6 months, you'll be right back here. July will be 33 years from that moment. And I'm not bragging on myself. Here's what I've been waiting all morning to tell you. So when I left that place, I walked out and started to go down the last three steps to the street. And I cried like I had lost my family in a fire. I sobbed. I waved. I walked. I started working, and God's call was on my life, and I started reading the Bible and studying. That was the loneliest, empty, barren. I loved being in church, but my life, I didn't know who I was. I was in between places. The alcohol hadn't even worked out of my system. I would wrap my head in a pillow and scream I was so lonely. And I'm not exaggerating. I was lonely. I did something every night of the week with the same friends. And now I'm going to this church, and there was like three guys there, and I told the Lord, and they're all dweebs. That's what I told the Lord. They're just goobs. God, I don't even want to. They're just so weird. They're just so weird. I did. That's what happened. And looking back, I didn't realize that he had put the clutch in on my life so he could take me from temporal to eternal, from carnal to spiritual, from spending my life on myself to investing in others. And that horrible period was the precursor to the greatest thing that he's done for me since my salvation. And I didn't even see it. I wonder how many people this morning are in a place of transition, and you're cursing the mechanic and you're cursing everything in your heart around it and don't realize that it is the gift of God. It is the pause between notes allowing you to get ready for the symphony that's about to play. Use it wisely. When God opens a door, we call that the hand of God. That same hand closes doors. It's just the backside of his hand. Everything that's happening in your life right now, for believers who are not in rebellion, is the will of God. How you view transition will determine how you react to it. And how you react to it is the librarian of your past and the prophet of your future. Spirit-led transition leads to change. And all God-ordained change leads to life and wholeness. We know that transitions are only temporary, and they are gates to tomorrow. Because you know that every transition in his will is connected to his very best. We know that every transition is connected to his will, and his will is connected to his very best. In just a moment, we're going to take communion. And our ushers, if you'll go ahead and just start to get ready, but don't serve yet. I'm going to leave us enough time. I want everybody to stay focused, because I want to wrap it up with this. If you miss this, the rest of it doesn't make sense. Transition. Your transition. I'm just going to use my friend Carla here again. In between jobs. That is a microcosm of your whole life. When you can see this with spiritual discerning eyes, I'm in transition from here to heaven. All that is a small window of a lifelong transition. I'm on my way to Zion, the beautiful city of Zion. I'm on my way to the city of the living God, where the Lamb is the light thereof. No need of a sun. This is not my home. And how does he get us there? By doing the little things that let you realize that's not your home. That's not your home. That's not your source. Transition is that which keeps our eyes on the transition. My outer man is perishing, but my inner man is being renewed day by day. You see? So I can accept the small ones if I see the big picture. All we're doing, our whole life is a transition. This ain't my home. This ain't all there is. God's got you. God's got you. Prepare, get ready. Get ready. Get ready as if the next week was vacation. Transition is the gift of God, because it was in my loneliness that I found him who sticketh closer than a brother. Ushers, if you will, we're going to serve our church family communion. For those of you that are believers, this is the time to check your heart. If there's anything wrong in your heart, you repent. You just repent before you take it. If there's rebellion in your heart, just let it pass by you. If you're not a Christian, this is not for you. There's no. I'm not trying to shame anyone, but the Bible says that it's a very serious thing, because when we take communion, if we do it unworthily, which means a union with Christ and humility and obedience, he said you can drink and eat damnation to yourself. And some are sick and others have died because they did not discern it. But more so, he just wants us to get right. Just, Lord, forgive me for that. So guys, if you will begin to serve from the back to the front, and then we'll take together. I asked Ben to play this song for us, and I hope some of you will enjoy it. I know you will.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross to my trophies at last I lay. I will cling to the old rugged cross, and I'll exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross to my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling and exchange it. to the old rugged cross.
Would y'all stand with us?
I will ever be true. It's shame and reproach gladly bear. Until he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory for ever I'll share.
If you know it, sing it with us this morning.
So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down, and I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
There's a verse in the Bible that I want to close with this morning before we take. Jesus said, for the joy that was set before him, the scripture says about Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. So, God in heaven, Christ the Lord, transition to earth to be the Lamb of God. Lived on the earth sinless. That's the transition period. The 33 years, mocked and maligned, loved, gave his life, bled and died for the joy that was set before him. What was that? Saving us. God's transition always leads to glory. Always. Because the last transition is when you get home. And scripture says, and you'll never go out again. Transitions are done. In the same night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and broke it and said, this is my body that's broken for you. As often as you do this, remember me. We can trust him in transitions because he gave his life for us in one. Let's take together. And in the same night Jesus was betrayed, he took wine and poured it and gave it to his disciples. And he said, this is my blood that's shed for you for the remission of sins. As often as you do this, think about me. If his death can wash away my past, what can his life do for my tomorrow? For if God spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, will he not now with him freely give us everything we need? Transition on, baby. I know when I come down off this rack, my life and my testimony will bring more glory to Jesus Christ. Sins forgiven, path laid, heaven is our reward. Let's drink together. Ben, would you lead us in that final verse?
To the old rugged cross, I will ever be true. It's shame and reproach gladly bear. Till he calls me someday to my home far away. Where his glory forever I'll stand. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Anybody got an amen in their heart this morning? Get ready. God wouldn't take all this time if there wasn't something coming. Get ready. And while it's on the rack, tell him to get everything. Have a wonderful Lord's Day. God bless you.